Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Rashawn, welcome, my friend.
Bro, pumped to be on the show, Jordan. Thank you so much, bro.
Hey, one of the things I want our audience to know is that you are the founder of a ministry online called I'm So Blessed Daily. A community of people from literally around the world that are gathering online to be encouraged by the Word of God and to be encouraged by testimonies just like yours.
Yeah.
And so, man, let me just say thanks on behalf of a lot of people out there. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for bringing some light into a dark world and just reminding us that Jesus is King, right?
Yes, Jesus is King. And, bro, I appreciate it. I am so unworthy to be in a predicament where I can bless so many others, you know, so undeserving of it. But I'm so grateful that, you know, one, God intervened in my life, but He also brought brothers like you across from me to help me move into deeper into my calling, bro. So I really appreciate you as well, Jordan, having me here today.
Well, man, today is a day I just want us to get to know you a little bit better. Because it's easy to look at the Rashawn Copeland today and be like, man, God's using him in such huge ways. But how does somebody get there?
Yeah.
The truth is, you haven't known the Lord a real long time. And yet God has used you over these last handful of years in just a powerful way. But before we get to that part of your story, man, can we just back up all the way to the very beginning and tell us, who is Rashawn Copeland and what is your story?
Awesome, bro. Well, I guess I could start off by saying I did grow up with a Baptist mama, you know, but she was sort of halfway in, halfway out. And then I had my dad. He was practicing, you know, Muslim, which I don't know how that worked out, but somehow, some way they were, you know, together. And I just know, unbeknownst to me, you know, I had a lot of confusion that came out of sort of, you know, what was the reason for life and why am I here and things like that. And as I began to just, you know, watch my dad, you know, really performance-based sort of mentality where he was in the military and everything was about, you know, achieving, that sort of fell off on me. And I love my dad so much because there was great things that he instilled in me as a young man. But that performance mentality is what drove me sort of almost into my grave, you know. Because I'll start off by saying several defining moments growing up. The first one was when I was in the seventh grade, I believe. It was my teacher that said to me, you know, because I had this performance mentality. She told me to never pick up a pen and write again, Rashawn. I remember that hit me head on, like in a terrible way, like a semi truck. It was terrible because at that point I began to question everything I did. Like, man, I thought I was actually good at writing and things like that. It made me not want to pick up a pen and write again. It made me run away from books. That's why I'm shook at this moment that, like, the Lord would use me to even write a book these days. Only God can do something like that.
No, you should dedicate it to her, bro. This is dedicated to Miss whatever your name is.
Yeah, send it off. I've had several suggestions to do that, but I haven't done it yet, but we'll see. But needless to say, I started, I sort of got addicted to achievement. And from there, I went off and sort of joined a football team. I started playing football. It was really good growing up in, you know, high school, playing sports. And I actually got a lot of opportunities in scholarships to go play in college. And, you know, because I was getting all this sort of fame in high school, these lights were on me and things like that, I literally was prideful. I was egotistical. My ego was not my amigo, and it'll show up here in a moment. But I was hanging out with this young girl one night after a football game. And we're sitting at this park, and, you know, I'm sort of riding that rocket ship of, you know, success in the sport I was playing. So I was getting ready to sign my national letter of intent in a couple of days. So, like, at this point, I'm like, man, I'm on top of the world at this night. I'm listening to a rap song called Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent. And I'm like, I'm on the clouds in a way. But here's what happened. Here's how I got humbled. I'm so thankful. My phone rings. Actually, it was the young lady's phone rings out of nowhere. It was her ex-boyfriend calling in. Brr, brr. And then I go to snatch the phone. You know, me being that prideful, egotistical high school football player, future college football star, I snatched the phone from her because I knew it was her boyfriend. I answered it, and then when I answered the phone, he was like, yo, why you with my girl? Why you with my girl? And at this point, I'm like, nah, chill out, bro. That's my girl. Chill out.
Oh, like, here we
and
go.
So there was the puff, me being puffed up in that moment. But here's what happened, which was unwise, very unwise. I say, hey, come meet me here. I tell him my address, where we were at this park. And needless to say, they pull up 10 minutes later. You know, I sort of hung up the phone. We were chilling. 10 minutes later, they pull up. Five guys jump out of the car. I'm not talking about burgers. I don't know if y'all got Five Guys burgers here. But, but five guys jump out of that car. I'm scared out of my mind. So, like, but I didn't show her that. But I pridefully got out of the car, but yet fearfully, I told her just to sit there. And I'm walking towards these guys, and these guys are walking towards me. I'm walking towards them. They're walking towards me out of nowhere. This guy reaches for his waistband. He pulls out a pistol. He waves it in the air. Mm. And I was like, got nervous as all outdoor. You know, this guy's holding a gun. He's about to shoot me down. So I turn and run. The problem is my feet lost control. I slipped and I fell. He stood over me. Boom, boom. Two gunshots. I was shot down. I was left for dead in a way. They ran off. They jumped in a truck. I didn't know I was shot. The adrenaline was just going too much. And, you know, my mind was everywhere. I jump up. I run. And I dived at the left side of the car because I didn't want them finishing me off, shooting and finish me off. So when I dive at the left side of the car, it's pitch black outside. I look into the car, the passenger door is open, the girl's gone, and at this moment, I'm just laying here, and I feel this cold cement, but out of nowhere, I felt this warm blood running out my back, and I was at the lowest point of my life. Wow. It was dark, my heart fell to the bottom of my stomach. I was like, I don't want this to be my last day. I was weaving in and out of consciousness. Mm. I was in the most painful moment of my life, and I remember for the first time crying out to God. Crying out to God like I've never cried out to God before. And somehow, some way, he met me there. But before I even get there, here's one thing that I can remember. I remember is that the girl wasn't there no more. My parents weren't there. The football coaches weren't there. I had this thought going through my mind, like, I've lived for everyone and everything but God. I live for me. Did I ever live? That was the question. Was I ever living? Wow. On the verge of death. Did I ever live? And the answer was no. And I had several things crossing my mind at that point. Like, one, I'm not ready to cross over to meet this omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-God, all-seeing God who's infinite in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Yes, he's loving, but he's holy and he's a judge. I'm not ready to meet him,
right,
to meet my maker. So that came to a realization in that moment. Because I've heard all the preachers, you know, tell me about, you know, hell, brimstone, you know, like literally we got to stand before this holy and just God. Are we ready to take account for our life? Mm. I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So at that point, I just cried out, God, I need your mercy. I need your help. And he met me there by sending, I call this guy an angel, but a truck pulled up 10, 15 minutes later after I lost, I was supposed to be dead that night. But a truck pulled up out of nowhere. This guy runs over. He picks me up. He throws me on his shoulders, and he takes me into his pickup truck. He speeds off, and he finally gets me to a hospital. I get in the hospital. The nurses and docs throw me on the gurney, and then I'm looking at this guy, but it gave me this beautiful picture. Like, he was wearing a plain white shirt, but his shirt was so full of blood. And I just remember, like, man, it was just a beautiful symbolic picture of one, that guy came way before I was ready for him to come. And it reminds me a lot about God. But God demonstrated his love for us all while we're sinners. Mm. Christ died for us. And he came long before I was ready as well. And it blew my mind. Like, wow, he heard my cry. Like David.
Yeah.
I cry out to the Lord. He heard my cry. You know, he picked me up out of the mud and mire. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. And that was the narrative. That was the story throughout that, you know, sort of season of my life.
You know, I've heard different testimonies throughout my life, and it's amazing how, you know, we serve a God who specializes in taking really bad things and turning them into really good things.
That's good.
And in your life, you know, it is a great example of, it's almost like God had to get you flat on your back before you would look up to him and recognize what this is really all about.
Yeah.
And talk to me about how God used that tragedy, that you're gunned down, you're bleeding out, you're barely alive.
Yeah.
How did God use that tragedy to change your trajectory?
That's awesome, bro. Man, that's great. So he simply used it by, one, telling me that I'm fragile, I'm human. Like, apart from him, I truly can't do anything. No matter how puffed up in my mind or how great I think I am, in a given moment, it can all be gone.
Mm.
And I'm hinged on his mercy, his grace, his love. And in him do I live and do I be and do I have my being. Like, everything comes back to him.
Mm.
And so it opened up my mind to that. Like, if I ever want to triumph or, you know, be victorious in this life, I must go to the one who conquered everything, even death and my sin, and to change me. So it really took back just going back to him in order to walk in that victory, discover who I am in him.
So he got your attention in that moment, but then you lived a lot of life after that too.
Yeah.
I mean, you served our country. You know, talk about some of that season in your life and ultimately how the Lord led you to doing what you were doing some of our, you know, some other people. Tell us the rest of that story.
Awesome. So moving from that instance, that defining moment, sort of where God met me in my lowest, deepest wound, and then he sort of dazzled me. I seen the glory of God in a way.
Yeah.
I moved out. I was getting ready to transition out of my parents' home after I healed up and got better and go to college. And college was just this new thing for me. Number one, I thought because my that gunshot and me being left for dead, they thought I was gang affiliate. I was a gang affiliate, and they stripped all my scholarships, all the big universities.
Oh, man.
So I was left, you know, and that was depressing in and of itself. Like, the human heart is made for worship. We're made to worship. The problem is I was worshiping the wrong thing, the God of self in football.
Mm.
And when those things were stripped, when those things died, I died with them until I was sort of revived into the truth, like, you know, of who I am in him. And that took time. But here's what was amazing. I finally got an opportunity to go to junior college. So I went to JUCO. This is why the importance of discipleship. There was no other Christians who was actually living it out on my team at that point. So I couldn't help but to compromise and go with the flow of the world. So I began to do what Psalm chapter 1 tells us isn't the blessed life. You know, blessed are those who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor take the way that sinners take, or stand in the company of mockers. But blessed is those who delight in the law of the Lord all of the days of their life.
Come on.
And they'll be prosperous and successful in all they do. But I didn't have, all I had was sinners and scorners and the wicked. Nobody was doing no Bible studies in that JUCO dorm room. Everything opposite of that. We're feeding our bellies and, you know, having, you know, sex out of marriage, doing drugs, you know, selling drugs. Yeah, everything we shouldn't have did, you know, because usually the guys that are in JUCO are guys who didn't necessarily may have the grades to go to the bigger universities, but they had the ability, And you get all these inner city kids from Newark, New Jersey, from, you know, Houston, Texas, from Florida, all over Florida, Cali. And we all be in this room just, yeah, living for us. And it was just crazy.
So God gets your attention through that. You end up moving out, going to college.
Yeah.
And now you're surrounded by the junk of the world.
Oh, man.
And you're giving into the junk of the world.
Oh, for sure.
So what were you doing?
And I loved it. Yeah, that's the problem.
You're having fun in sin.
I loved the sin.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Even though it was fun and exciting, I didn't know it was killing me, slowly diminishing, killing my soul. Like, yeah. I didn't know that. That's why I feel like we'll perish for a lack of knowledge. But I just didn't know, bro. Yeah. But here's the beautiful thing. After years and years, a lot of hiccups, hangups, and frustrations, fast forward, I did end up having a child out of marriage after having, you know, tons of wildlife, a lot of parties. I had a son out of marriage, and, you know, I end up, you know, having to put on that cap like I'm about to be a dad. Things are about to get real. I need to provide for this child. I need to lead and love in a way that I've seen it modeled to me through my father, even though he didn't have Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I need to, something needs to change because I got to provide for this little baby. So I started looking at football different, life differently, and things like that. Fast forward, I was like, okay, you know what? I know I'm probably not going to make it to NFL. That was always a dream. It's getting real. I'm towards the end of my career and I'm not doing much. Like, I'm not performing the way I thought I would be performing, of course. I'm not going to make no NFL. So I said, you know what? I would love to sort of please my dad, my earthly father, and also compete with him in a way. He was a enlisted Coast Guard petty officer. I wanted to commission as an Army officer to get his approval, get the smile of his heart, and things like that. So what I did is I joined the ROTC, and I began to go the route, okay, let me commission right out of college. My dad would be happy. I want to see my dad proud of me. I want to work for his approval. So I ended up doing that. Everything was really successful, doing great things. I commissioned as an Army medical officer, went to Army med school out in San Antonio, Beaumont, Texas, Fort Sam Houston.
Yeah.
Did amazing, fun things there. I mean, during the day, I would dress up nice in my uniform, and I'd be achieving these amazing things, you know, sacrificing my life in a way. And then at night, I'll be at the strip club, drinking with the comrades and the homies that's in the military. So it just spiraled into this. Then cheating on my son's mom and things like that. While she's gone, I'm over here at Army Medical School like it's all good. Things are going great during the day when I'm talking to her on the phone, but I'm cheating on her. And I needed that because it was modeled to me by the other military guys. Like, right. I'm a product of my environment in a way, quote unquote. And that's the way I thought and lived. So fast forward, I get on social media. Matter of fact, social media was that thing that sort of drove me into comparison and also showed me my heart and how discontent it was where I was. So I made a decision. I'm going to leave the military or I was going to think about going AWOL, like leaving just to go to L.A. because I would see my cousin out in L.A. in movies like American Pie. He was the only black guy in that movie, American Reunion, which was a really big movie at that time. But also The Lucky One with Zac Efron. And I'm like, he's out there doing it. And he looked just like me. I need to go out there and go, you know, just pursue this, what he doing, fame, money. He got all them likes and them followers and got money, he's living. So I basically went to my commander. I was like, after I graduate here, Army Med School, is there a way I can just get in a reserve? So out of the two days out of the month where I'm not serving here, I can be out there doing my thing and, you know, chasing. And he set me up to where I was good to go. So I went out to L.A. and envy drove me out there. You know, so I was finally out in L.A. and I started becoming a viner. That was big in the Vine days. Yeah. Do it for the Vine. I ain't gonna do it. That was one of the little things that, like, do it big, in Vine. So I started getting big in that space, and you know, I had several videos go really viral. Had people like Tori Kelly, and several other like bigger names that were on that platform share my stuff, and it went really big at one point. And I started getting opportunities to get with other YouTubers and And things began to look really good for me. I had a house in the valley. I signed to an agency called Fabrizio Agency out of New York, which connected me with Soulja Boy. And I'm with Soulja Boy at this point and other artists doing the hype man thing. And then again, I'm seeing my platforms explode. The money looked good. I looked successful on the outside, but inside I was miserable. And this is where it gets to the point where I'm asking questions again about life and my existence. And like, I thought this was it.
Yeah.
Like, why am I running into this hole, like, you know, this wall again, but it feel like I'm falling down a hole, like in my life, depression and anxiety and worry and all this stuff. It was chaotic. So I thought the next thing I should do, let me look into the porn industry.
Mm.
So I was going to actually, if I wasn't going to join the porn industry, I was just going to get that honey on the side in the porn industry to just fill that void that I'm missing over here. You know, the fantasies, the lust, the saddest, I was a hedonist. I mean, everything, I live for my own passions and everything. So what was crazy about that, Jordan, I end up getting to this place where the girl of my dreams, who I was actually with out in LA, was at USC. But I get to this point where I'm like, okay, God, if you're real, can you start showing me? And then out of nowhere, you again stripping things one by one. My best friends that were out there, they left. The young lady found out through one of them that I was cheating on her, you know, emotionally and physically in ways. So she left. Out of nowhere, all this stuff, like a ton of bricks falls on me. Like, I'm worthless. Like, I just start getting this idea I'm worthless. So one night I'm in the house and I'm sitting in a room and I'm depressed. I'm again, lowest point. And I go into another room and I go grab a pistol. So I grabbed this pistol. It felt like eternity walking back down to the other room, my actual room. And as I get into the room, I get on my knees and I'm about to just take my life and I'm shaking and I'm wondering what will happen again if this actually happens. Number one thing I was thinking about, I already know what it feels like to go through, you know, the havoc that a bullet has on a body, a physical body. And I don't want to go through that pain again if I were to live through this gunshot wound.
Mm.
So that was the number one thing. And number two, am I ready to meet God? Like, if it's real what the Bible says, if it's real what I've heard people preach, am I ready? So I always question that because there may be someone listening right now that's in that, has been in that same predicament or thinking about committing suicide. And I would ask them to ask that question, like, do you really want to take your own life, the one who created you, and see him after that?
Mm.
Like, I was beating myself over the head with that. But here's the beautiful thing. This is why I got so much passion for digital ministry, outreach, you know, whatever you can do to meet people right where they are, literally, even if it's in front of their device. So as I'm shaking and this gun's in my mouth, about to pull the trigger, the best, you know, at least I thought I was, by the grace of God. But my phone had lit up. It was sort of was that light, you know, that came and woke me up in a way. I grabbed the phone. I set down the handgun. I swiped right. And it was this only Christian girl. My brother was an athlete at Baylor University. I met this Christian girl a few months before I was in this moment. And she was a girl that I would not meet her in the LA at party or anything like that. When I was there visiting my brother, she actually acknowledged me. She wasn't looking over her shoulder to see if anyone else, more important, would walk in. It was at a party I met her. But it was like more of like a Christian style, like get together. I thought it was a party, but it was like a, you know, but it was cool though. But what was amazing is she wrote something that night and it was specific. I felt like it was personalized to me, but it said this: oh, how wide, how deep, how vast the love of God is, and nothing in all creation can separate us from this love that's found in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
And as I was reading and reading, I was weeping and weeping. Like, literally, man, my heart was melting as I read that. And at that moment, it's sort of like the veil had fallen from my eyes. Like, what are you doing in Christ Jesus? I was far from Christ, but it said in Christ Jesus, this love And then it opened up my eyes to something I had never even imagined before. And I just start, again, crying out to God that night, sort of wrestling like Jacob. You don't go from the verge of suicide to roses and rainbows in a minute. But I was wrestling with God, like, show me, continue to show me that you're real. And I end up falling asleep. And I had this crazy instance, which I won't get into it much, but it was like an OBE that night, which is wild. I'll never forget that. But I run over after I wake up 4 a.m, turn on the light. I run back over to my bed, throw the covers on my head, grown man. And I'm still questioning, like, God, what's up? You show me that you're real, but just show me yourself more. I want to know you more. And then I look, I have this utterance to look underneath the bed. And I look underneath the bed, and this house, let me just share real quick, this house that I was living in was a lot of talents would come through here. Fabrizio would send actors and artists to, you know, come in who are coming to audition and do different things in LA. So there were different rooms where people would just come in, and mine was one of those rooms, and I had never seen this suitcase before that was underneath my bed. I pull it out, crack it open. It was dirty clothes on there, but on top of it was a book. Guess what book it was? The B-I-B-L-E.
Stop.
Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God. Yes, the B-I-B-L-E.
Come on.
And I cracked it open. It went right to the red letters. Uh-huh. And those red letters said this. Oh, what? He that wants to keep his life must lose it. But he that loses his life for my name's sake shall gain it. And then it went off and said this, oh, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet lose his soul?
Wow. You think the Lord had a word for you that night?
He had a word for me.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
What blows my mind to this day, it wasn't a preacher necessarily that preached to me the gospel. It wasn't like, you know, and preachers are much needed, of course, bro. Like, but it wasn't some, you know, gospel tract that I had read. It was the word of God that I opened up, and then it opened me up to the love of God, but also his truth. And yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Man, you go through all these defining moments in your life, and you talk about a life of running away from God and pursuing all the things of the world.
Yeah.
And finding yourselves in the pit, literally in the pit.
Yeah.
Was that the night that you would say, I surrendered all to Jesus and I started a real relationship with him?
Yeah, because I was in the filthiness of my sin. It was exposed to me as I began to read, you know, liars and cheaters and adulterers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. I was guilty right there in my sight, but there was something like, and then I went to John 8:32. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm like, all of it was pointing back to Jesus. I'm like, I gotta know this guy.
Yeah,
this freedom. I gotta know this guy. Wow. Like, seriously, I gotta know him. And then it changed everything. And then I started, when I knew him more, I loved him more. Mm. And when I loved him, I obeyed him. Wow. And then that changed everything.
You went from having a gun in your mouth to having hope in your heart for the first time ever.
Boom.
And now you're talking about a life-changing moment where you go all in with Jesus.
Yeah.
And man, that was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And look at the journey God's had you on ever since. And look at the millions of people that have heard the gospel as a result of that obedience. We always talk about how God blesses obedience.
Yeah.
And you know, he gives you opportunities to do what he asks you to do. And he tells you to fish for people and to share the gospel and to take the hope within you and to share it with other people.
Yes.
And you've done that, man.
By the grace
Just
of God.
Talk to us about the last 5 years since that moment. How did God bless that moment? Mm. And how has he given you an opportunity to share it with so many people?
Love it. Love it, bro. So first thing I did, I took that Bible, literally left. 30 minutes to an hour later, I left out with just my book bag. And matter of fact, the Bible is the number one stolen book in the world. I stole that book that night.
Awesome.
I took it. Whoever's it was, it's gone now. But I'm so thankful I did. It's a treasure, you know, that you don't want to lose. But I really jumped on the city bus, had that Bible. I began to read it for almost four hours straight as the city bus began to work itself from the valley all the way back downtown. It took about 4 hours. And I was just reading, and letting it get into me. And as I got downtown, I got on the Greyhound bus took the Greyhound bus and sat next to homeless men. I mean, moms with three children. And it's like I seen everything different. Hmm. It seemed like, it felt like I finally had this eternal sort of perspective. Like, I don't know how God, like, you know, he changed everything in that moment. It felt like I was born again. I couldn't help but to share. Like, I shared it with the people that were sitting next to me on the bus as I read it. Hmm. And I began to ask them, have you heard about Jesus and things like that? But as I'm on this bus, 20 hours straight, headed to Oklahoma, because Greyhounds, they stop everywhere. Wow. I mean, you'll be stressed with back pain, everything on the bus. But literally, I'm reading like Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. I have many plans in my life, but God's purpose that prevails. And I began to read all this stuff, and I finally got back to Oklahoma City. My brother was still in college. His dorm buddies let me sleep in a room. I was sleeping in basically an apartment with no couch or no nothing. You know, college students tend to be broke sometimes. Mm. But I remember those days. But I would lay on their ground, eat ramen noodles, and got planted in a church, began to get discipled, had great men of God come around me, speak, you know, truth and love over my life, but also I saw how they loved their wives. I saw how, you know, they would literally, they were all about the gospel. They were all about Jesus, and it awoken something in me, and it showed me the possibilities of what things could be down the line as I got my family now. And now it's just about, you know, sharing the gospel even online. I felt like, one, it's just something that's much needed, because that's where God met me, where I needed it the most.
So, man, that happens. You give your life to the Lord. You get married.
Yeah.
You got two beautiful kids, and you have one on the way.
Yeah.
And God continues to bless you personally. And, man, he's also blessing you with just an incredible ministry. And you talk about going from being the hype guy for Soulja Boy to now you've got an online ministry reaching millions of people. And why don't you share just for a second about I'm So Blessed Daily and maybe some of the life change you've been able to see through that ministry.
Love it. So when we first started I'm So Blessed Daily, it was years ago, literally started at zero. I mean, it's not like 6 million like it is now, but it started at zero with just a heart, eagerness to just spread, you know, bless people daily through the word of God, but also just encouragement, you know, biblical sound encouragement. And over time, we just start seeing God bless it, you know, because people really needed that encouragement, you know, and without an agenda or anything, we just wanted to bless people. And for years, we've seen sort of no true fruit, it felt like. I mean, it blew up the first year, zero to a million in the first year. But I'm saying, like, I would say from the standpoint of we didn't have any monetary return for, like, almost 3 years. It was already at, like, 3 million. Like, from the standpoint, because, you know, when you're in that season where you're doing God's work and, you know, you're busting it, even not just online, but you're sharing the gospel with people, you're loving people, you're like, I want to do this full time. We wanted to do that full time. But the problem is we weren't seeing any tangible, like we can take care of our family with this type of stuff. And it was like kind of discouraging. Lord, why have you forsaken us? But he didn't. Like, we just need to be faithful where we're planted. And I was learning that over time. But thankfully, you know, God has been, so faithful in connecting us with, different people within the body who are willing to, help us move his kingdom along, sharing the gospel on there. So,
well, the cool thing about how the Lord's working is, you know, he gives you certain things. He gives us certain things. And then he brings us together for such a time as this. And as we steward what the Lord blesses us with for his kingdom, you know, he has a way of showing off in ways that we can't see him show off necessarily by ourselves.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we have the pleasure of being on the I'm So Blessed Daily channel every single week right now as a church. And we've just seen the Lord use that ministry in a powerful way.
Likewise.
I can tell you just this past week through the I'm So Blessed Daily link, we had two people in Alaska give their life to Christ.
Alaska
Woo! Of all places. You had two people in Philadelphia that don't know each other give their life to Christ. We had a person in South Africa give their life to Christ. And these are people that we followed up with. We're sending the word of God.
Yeah.
We're getting them plugged into discipleship classes virtually online.
Come on.
We're seeing life change happen all around the world. And I want you to understand, it's because God's using our partnership, and he's using the platform that he's blessed you with, and you've so graciously allowed us to be a part of your ministry in that way. And God's just doing God stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because of how great we are or how great you
exactly.
are. It's about how great he is. And he's really just showed off in a huge way through that ministry.
And you know what, Jordan? You guys are a huge answer prayer to us. Because one thing that we truly want to do is have not just these cute quotes that go up every single day, not just just live videos that are just words of encouragement and prayer, but we truly need someone to come up there and share the gospel weekly and really see that sort of transformation happen, you know, all throughout the world on these platforms. So I appreciate you and your team, y'all heart for the kingdom, man. What are we, you know, by ourselves? We can't do nothing, you know, apart from the body. We work together, so it's just so important.
Well, man, I just love the season that we're in. Yeah. I would have never predicted that we're in this season, by the way. Yeah. Before a pandemic, listen, you and I met through the pandemic.
Yeah,
we
true.
We were speaking at the same conference virtually online, and the Lord connected us. But who would have ever thought that we would have a ministry literally touching every continent on the globe through the internet, and that we would now have an extended family ministry? You know, what a blessing it is to see, you know, Michael Head is our brand new extended family pastor.
Michael, that's the man right there.
The new landing platform is extendedfamily.church for people that are connecting with us online. So they can go to this website and they can connect with us and they can give to support the ministry. They can serve no matter where they are located on the globe. They can be a part of our serve team. They can be a part of the I'm So Blessed daily chat teams where we're talking to people around the world. And man, what an exciting season of ministry to see, no matter who you are, if you can work that device,
come
you can
on.
Be used for the kingdom.
That's simple.
You know, you've got a platform online, and yet we're seeing God use a platform online to see more lives transformed by the gospel than ever before in our history. And so, man, I just want you to know, I'm proud to call myself a friend.
Likewise.
I'm blessed to be in the presence of somebody who has truly been transformed by the gospel.
Amen.
And is being faithful to say yes to whatever the Lord's telling him to do right now.
Amen.
And so, man, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for just sharing your story, being so transparent, and pointing all the glory back to Jesus. Because you and I both know, without him,
we're nothing. Come
nothing
on, Brother
at
Jordan.
All. And
you
so, listen,
preach.
We have hope today because of him.
Wow.
And I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the days to come.
Amen.
You have been blessed by today's show. I don't even have to ask you if you've been blessed, because I know you have. Because you've heard a story that only God can get the glory for. And you know what? If you've come to know Christ, maybe your story looks different. Maybe you've never walked those same paths. Maybe you've never had those same experiences. But I can tell you one thing. If you've sinned even one time in your life, the Bible says that what you deserve is hell.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus said, I came so that you don't have to get what you deserve.
Wow.
I came to save you. I came to give you hope that you can't have outside of me. And maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you're the person that's waiting for the phone to glow and to snap you out of it, and to remind you that there is hope today. And I just want you to know, if you have a question about the Lord, if you have a question about what it looks like to know Christ, I want to invite you to go to that website I just mentioned a second ago, extendedfamily.church. And as you go there, there's a place for you to submit some information, maybe even ask a question. And we want to connect with you personally and talk to you about what it looks like to know Jesus. Mm. You click that button, saved, that say, man, I want to go all in with Christ.
Yeah.
We're going to connect with you right now and talk to you about what that relationship looks like. Because we can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, unless you've made that decision, you don't know the hope that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Unless you've gone all in with Christ, you don't know what salvation or forgiveness or grace or mercy really feels like. Let me tell you, Jesus can do things in your life you cannot do for yourself.
That's good.
That's what today is all about. That's what every day is all about. If you have been saved, give glory to God.
Amen.
Because your story is a God story. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.